Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me when I am surrounded. Your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising. I can feel it rising. All the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel the sky song rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me when I am surrounded. Your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me
Open your Bibles with me this morning to the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis. We'll be reading verses 21 through 28 in just a moment. And if you were here last week, and this sounds a little bit familiar, this is roughly the same passage we used last week, but the message will take a different direction and have a different texture to it. This is Mother's Day. And what we see transpiring here in this point in history, but in the life of the early stages of the patriarchs of the nation of Israel, we see a set of parents who really give us some examples of the expression and the growth of parental love. What is a parent's love? There is a love that a parent has for a child that is really unlike anything else in human existence. The love that child has for the parent is also different. It's hard to explain and it's hard to qualify or to quantify, but the reality is, as God places within us a natural love for our families and a care, a protection, a desire to see them succeed. As a parent of adult children, I find myself really glorying in their successes. I find myself much more pleased and much more excited when I hear that one of my children, even as an adult, no longer under my care, not under my roof, not under my authority, not costing me any money anymore, but when I hear of their successes, I find much more joy and excitement, and I am much more thrilled about that than when I was at their stage of life and I had my own successes. And I find that that parental love doesn't change. It doesn't go away. If nothing else, it grows and it enhances, and it is supposed to. What we see in this passage and what we're going to excerpt from the passage that we're going to look at is a set of parents, and we're going to kind of zero in on the mom just a little bit more today, but we're going to see a set of parents who have parental love and how that parental love grows and how it is magnified and how it also applies, because you see, the nature of parental love has not changed in the last 3,900 years since these events happened. The reality is we are the same parents. We have the same God. We have the same needs, and our children are much like the children that we see in these events in human history. But what we need to understand, and what we're going to see some examples of, is how we as parents, no matter what our stage of life in our parenthood may be, how that love is and how it develops, what it should be, and what it can be. Let's read about this together now in Genesis 25, 21 through 28. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. And the Lord heard his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. But the children inside her struggled with each other, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" And so she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two people will come from you and be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." And when her time came to give birth, there were indeed twins in her womb. The first one came out, red-looking, covered with hair, like a fur coat, and they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out grasping Esau's heel with his hand, and so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when they were born. And when the boys grew up, Esau became an expert hunter, an outdoorsman, but Jacob was a quiet man who stayed at home. Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for wild game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, the story goes on, and there's more to the narrative, but we're going to look at these things at this point of parenthood. A parent's love is enhanced and it grows, and it is reflective directly how it relates and how it is maintained through stressful situations. We see this both in verses 21 and 22, but let me read verse 22. Now, the children inside her, this is Rebekah after she conceived, the children inside her struggled with each other, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" And so she inquired of the Lord. You see what happens there? She's having a difficult pregnancy. Things aren't going easy for her. Now, she's never been pregnant before. This is a new experience to her. Things are going on inside her that have never gone on before. Plus, she has two boys in her womb who don't like each other. And they're duking it out inside there. And she's going, "What in the world is going on?" And so she inquires of the Lord. Now, if you look at the previous verse, let's take just a second look at the previous verse at dad. And it says that Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. And the Lord heard his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. Now, that first line, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife. All right, men, I'm going to talk to you just a second. Do you know what the best Mother's Day present you can give to your wife or to your mom could possibly be? Earnest prayer. Here we see a godly man who had a situation in his life and had a situation in his wife's life that was upsetting. They had been married about 20 years at this point, and she was still childless. And in that day and in that time and in that culture, that was really a very unacceptable reality. She was in stress over that situation. Also, they understood and they remembered the promises that God had made to Isaac's father, Abraham, that Isaac would be the father, would be the line through which a great nation would come. And at this point in their life, he's almost 60. She's probably a little bit younger than that, but well, you know, starting to get on up there. They don't have any children. So what does he do? He goes to the Lord and he prays on behalf of his wife. I want to ask you men a rhetorical question. Don't answer this out loud. When was the last time you offered an earnest prayer for your wife? No, no, not just God bless mom. Not that. But the last time you really prayed for her. You looked into your wife's eye or you looked into your mom's eye. You know that there is a stressful situation. You know that there is a trial, that there is trauma going on in her life. When is the last time you looked into their eyes and you earnestly prayed on their behalf? You interceded for them. That you go before the God of the universe, the God of creation, who is all powerful, all gracious, all loving, and you go to them on behalf of your wife and say, Lord, would you bless her? And then offer up a specific blessing you know that she needs. When's the last time you did that? Ladies, I want to ask you a question, and you may respond with a show of hands. How many of you would like that prayer offered up for you? You may raise your hands. That's what I thought. A universal goal. Men, did you see that? Did you see that in your wives? Did you see that in your mothers? Did you see the response? They would like that. And something else, it's cheap. You don't have to go to Zales. You can give them. I'm kidding, guys. You might need to go to Zales after this is over. But the reality is if you really believe and if you have faith and you're growing spiritually and you believe that God is who God is and that He has the power that He has and that He has the love and the compassion and the care of a loving and gracious God, it should be absolutely natural, and it is incumbent upon us men that we stand before the Lord and we offer prayers of blessings on behalf of our wives and on behalf of our moms and on behalf of our children. We need to do that. And then you see also as Rebecca comes and she's having this confusing thing going on within her, she also inquires of the Lord. They go to the Lord. They seek Him out. And they're in a stressful situation. Both of them are in a stressful situation. A man who is married to a woman who is having a difficult pregnancy, he is also in a stressful situation. Not as stressful as the wife, not as stressful as the mom. I understand that, but believe you me, it's stressful enough. But what do? They come together and they seek God. You notice she does not say, what did this guy do to me? What has Isaac, cast upon me? She doesn't even blame God. She doesn't say, God, why have you done this to me? She just wants to know what in the world's going on. Why am I going through this? And so in a stressful time, we see both Isaac and Rebekah come to the Lord. And we also see, I think, we see they are bound more closely together in stress. We are creatures of a fallen world. And we have a very bad habit within our lives that when a stressful situation arises, that we seek someone to blame. And I don't know how about you are, but I am never to blame. It's really never my fault. I always find some way for it to fall upon someone else. And usually it's those who are closest to us. I will not enunciate the number of things through the years that have been Beth's fault, because I have to go home. But the reality is that's the way we are. Now, that is exactly the wrong thing to do. We have to understand that no matter what the stressful situation may be, whether it's a health issue or a financial issue or a professional issue or a relationship issue, no matter what that thing that is creating stress in our lives, it is the issue that is the problem. It is not the partner. It is not the spouse. It is not the child. It is not the parent. They are not the problem. Now, they may be involved in the problem. They may be reacting poorly to the problem. But what we have to understand that we as husband and wife, we need to bind ourselves closely and tightly together to overcome the issue, not to find whose fault it is. The issue is the problem. It's not my fault. It's not her fault. It's not even our fault necessarily. But there is a solution to be had. And if we as a married couple, and I tell people this, you know, either in premarital counseling or in the occasional marriage counseling I do, I tell people that if you will let that situation draw you closer together, your bond will grow. Your love will grow. And what we see in parental love is that the stressful situations of parenthood, and parenthood is stressful. There's no way around it. There are stresses in parenthood, but if we will allow those stresses to bond us closer together, then our love will grow. Our parental love will grow. Our love and our binding of our spouses will grow. The love for our children toward us will grow. And these are the realities, and this is what God does, and this is how He constructed us. It is incumbent upon us to follow the example of Isaac and Rebekah and to exhibit a parent's love, even and especially through stressful situations. Another thing that we see is the parent's love will be increased according to our spiritual depth. Look at verse 23. And the Lord said to her, she inquires the Lord, why is this happening to me? And so the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Not just two boys, two nations are in your womb. Two people will come from you and be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. Now remember that line. We're going to come back to it later. But remember that line. Here we are. He explains it to her. God comes to her. He doesn't say, you know, figure it out. He comes to her and he explains to her what is going on within her. And he says, I got good news for you. You got twins. You got twins. They're two boys and they don't like each other. They're contending with each other inside your womb. They're going to contend with each other all their lives. Two nations are going to come from you, and it's going to be a handful. You're going to have a lot of stress. You're going to have a lot of needs. And also, I am going to choose the younger of the two boys. I'm going to choose him to be the son of promise. And the older son, which would be the normal cultural son of promise, he is going to serve the younger. There's going to be something unusual in their relationship. This is not going to be the social norm. And he explains this to her. And she hears his voice, and she finds comfort. And what we see that happens through this difficult pregnancy that Rebekah had, through her emotional struggle of what is going on, that God comes to her, what we see is God is depthening her spiritual life. And understand that truth. That is how God cultivates us. That is how He reaches down deep into our spiritual soil, and He turns that soil over. And He turns those nutrients that are down there deep, and He brings them to the surface where they can be useful. What He is doing and how He does that is through stress, through difficult situations, through things that challenge us in life. If we were never challenged in life, if there was never a situation we didn't understand, if there was never a situation that we couldn't handle, that would arise, then we would never grow spiritually. There would never be any depth come to us. And here we see that Rebekah is going to be deepened in her spiritual life. And she's going to learn more how to trust in God. And she's hearing His voice. She's recognizing His voice as He is speaking to her about her special and specific situation. And so it is in our lives. God uses the stresses of life. He uses the difficulties of life. He uses bereavement, and He uses illness, and He uses disappointment, and He uses discouragement, and He uses so many things. And when He is doing that with us, if you are going through a stressful time in your life right now, if you are in one of these situations at this point, understand the God of the universe is cultivating your spiritual life. He is deepening you. He is making you, putting you in the position where you can become more fruitful and more valuable and have greater joy and have even more abundance in your life and be more abundant for those who are around you. That's how what God does. Yes, there is pain in this life. There are struggles in this life. And I say this very often in talking with people who are going through struggles. God will not waste your pain. He won't do it. He will use it for His kingdom. He will use it for His glory. And in that pain, when we're on the other side of it, when we go through the valley of the shadow and we come out on the other side of that valley of the shadow, there is always more abundance. That's the way our God is. That is what He is doing with Isaac and Rebekah. And that's what He will do with you and with me. We can measure our parental love, and it will grow in the not only in the stresses of life, but in our spiritual maturity and how we grow and the depth that comes to us. Because she hears the voice of God, and she understands that there is going to come a time when she is going to have to trust God with her children. And that is a huge, huge thing for a mother to do. But you see, our love is valuable when we invest ourselves in God's plan for our children. And this is a kind of a part of this passage that's really easy to overlook, is down there in verse 28, actually 27 and 28. It says that when the boys grew up, Esau became an expert hunter, an outdoorsman. But Jacob was a quiet man who stayed at home. Now listen to verse 28. And Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for the wild game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And it doesn't say why, it's just that she did. I submit to you that verse 28 refers back to verse 26 when God tells her the older will serve the younger. That God has chosen the younger son, which the name turned out to be Jacob. God has chosen him to be the son of promise. He is the line of which Israel is going to come and actually becomes Israel later. And we see this unfold and we see this promise. And she hears that, and she recognizes that. Now, Isaac, I can understand Isaac. I personally would probably identify with Isaac here. He's the boy he preferred. Now, let's get this straight. Because Isaac loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob, that does not mean they didn't like the other boys. It doesn't mean that the other son was rejected. They loved both of their sons. It's just that Esau had a personal preference for his older son. Why? Because he was a man's man. This kid was from Wyoming. He loved the outdoors. He was an expert hunter. He would go out and he would bring his father wild game. And Isaac liked the wild game. And he would bring him and he would feed him. And it says he loved him because of this. Whereas Jacob was a quiet boy. He stayed home. Didn't go out much. Stayed around. He wasn't the outdoors guy. He wasn't the rugged kid. He was kind of the brainiac. If he'd have had a computer, he'd have been on it all the time. This was this kid here. But Rebekah remembered what God said about him. He was the child of promise. Later, and we're going to see this as this series unfolds, maybe she went a little bit too far in trying to help God out with his plan. But she was zeroed in to God's plan for her children. Isaac, and we don't know what God told Isaac about his plan for his sons, but Isaac was in tune to what the sons could do for him and his personal preferences. But Rebekah had the parental love to trust God and to believe God. And she favored the son that God said, "This is the one who I favor." Now, again, she wasn't mean to Esau. She didn't dislike Esau. She loved Esau. But she favored this child of promise. Why? Because she remembered what God said. Now, the point for us. Do we trust God with our children? Do we really trust Him? Do we try to discern God's plan for our children? God may or may not reveal that to us as parents. That's up to His sovereign will and His sovereign plan. But God invests Himself in our kids. I want to ask you a question, parent. Do you believe this? I have been a parent for 40 years. I absolutely believe that God has a plan for my children. I don't know what those plans are in detail, but I have watched them unfold. Now, if you've only been a parent for 40 days or 40 months, understand God has a plan for your child. And for your life, for his life, for her life. And it is a beautiful thing to watch that unfold. Do we trust God with our children? Do we trust God with ourselves? our parental love will increase and it will be effective if we say, and believe you me, when your kids are teenagers, you're going to need this. When you say, God, they're yours. I trust you with them, for this is beyond me. A parental responsibility is more than we can do. But with God's help, He does it for us. And that's what real love is. Real love is trusting God to do that which is beyond our reach. Now, a parent's arms are important. A parent's reach is important. It is vital to the health and the well-being of the child. But sometime, they're going to get beyond that. And that is when the love of God and our faith and our trust in God, that is when our spiritual depth comes into play. I promise you, you're going to need that. I still need it today. So will you. Now, what do we do with this? What do we do with this example of a parent's love? How does that affect our lives? These people lived 3,900 years ago. Does it really matter? Is it the same? Yes, it is. People have not changed. The God who responds has not changed. He is the same God. He is also the God who gave His Son, born in Bethlehem, died upon a cross, raised Him from the dead, that comes to give us life and life everlasting. Are we going to receive that? Are we going to believe that? Are we going to parent like that? Are we going to husband like that? Are we going to be a wife like that? Are we going to be a son or a daughter like that? That's a choice you have to make, a choice I have to make. We can't make it for one another. We can't impose that on anyone else. We have to let God and the Holy Spirit touch their lives. Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you have the Spirit of God within you, the Holy Spirit of God that can have that spiritual depth grow and increase so that your love and your wisdom can increase? If you don't know Christ, that does not exist for you. But if you do know Christ, then the journey is on its way.